The wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Come on, let's make it do what it do. Go with me to Jude 24. Jude 24. Somebody's saying there aren't 24 chapters in Jude. There's only one. Whenever a book of the Bible has only one chapter, you don't have to name the chapter, just the verse, because it assumes your biblical knowledge. Verse 24, Jude 24 is all you have to say if it only has one chapter. It's what you grew up on. It's what the pastor said before you left church. He would lift his hands and give you the benediction, the blessing. That's why no cigarette or piece of chicken is worth leaving before I'm finished. Because when I lift my hands, I'm saying, God, watch over that brother. Watch over his daughter. Don't let nothing touch her until she gets home from school. There's nothing more important than the benediction, the doxology, the blessing. You grew up on King James, now unto him. Here it is, a more modern version, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I'm going to try it again. You didn't feel me. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Let's try it again. Now to him. Now to him. Now to him. I'm sorry. Push five people and tell them, I'm with him. I said five people. That's three and a half. Tell five people. Tell five people, I'm with him. You may be seated in the Lord's house. You may be seated in the Lord's house. Secular humanism is a philosophy or life stance that embraces ethics, human reason, and philosophical naturalism, while simultaneously rejecting all forms of religious dogma, supernaturalism, or anything of thought on the basis of morality. Okay. In other words, you have secular humanism, you have Hinduism, you have Confucianism, you have Buddhism. What do they all have in common? Either they are agnostic in their approach, or they have a dead savior. To those of you who don't need God, or one that's no longer here, you roll with them. To the rest of us who need something real, lean on somebody and say, we with him. Go ahead. In case you're wondering who the him is, his name is Jesus. He is that precious Palestinian Jew that changed our life. And whatever else Resurrection Weekend is about, it is at least about him. It's not about some superstar preacher with a t-shirt on. It's not about just cameras in a crowded church. We're here for one reason, him. Everything about this weekend should be centered around him. I love the book of Jude. It is diminutive in size, but massive in his impact. Don't let diminutive scare you. Little, small, little book, chapter one, that's all, 24 verses. Diminutive in size, but major in its impact. We know that it clothes the benediction, verse 24, but there's some powerful stuff. Do me a favor, unearth some of the major principles of the book of Jude in your spare reading time. Let's just jump right in, because look at the first verse. Let's just attack verse 20. It's resurrection. Don't preach long. I told all my sons and daughters across the world, don't preach long. They got to go get some chicken. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit. Watch what he says, building yourself up. Y'all just missed that. Building yourself up. That's amazing, because some people need affirmation too much. Yeah, so some people need company too much. So some people need to be affirmed too much. Don't marry them. They'll drive you crazy. They got to ask you every 5 minutes. Am I okay? Do you like me? Is everything okay? Do you like somebody else before me? Do you think? Are you cheating on me? That's too much. That's too much. No, no, no. You got to get to a place where if don't nobody encourage you, lean on somebody and say, go and encourage yourself. Go ahead. Yeah. Building yourself up. Watch this. With your most holy faith. In other words, you're building yourself up based on what you believe from God's word. That's why church is critical, because I need a place that builds me up. I've said for years, I've taken some shots. I don't like the word church. I don't go there because all he preaches is health and wealth. And I keep saying the antithesis is sick and poor. So either I can preach about being sick and poor, or I can build you up. I know there are bros here busting some creep moves. I know there's some women here who are not perfect. I know there's some young people here that looked at some stuff you shouldn't have looked at on the computer. I don't want you doing none of that. It just messes up your life. But can I suggest to you, when you walk in here, it's not my job to beat you up. It's my job to build you up. Y'all pray for me. If God let me live to Tuesday, I celebrate 48 years. I done got too old to have people around me that keep breaking me down. If you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to build me up. Go lean on somebody. Go old school. Tell them, tell me something good. 35 and over, y'all not feeling me. Can I suggest to you, I know that I have issues. If you're my friend, keep me accountable. You married to me, show me my flaws in love, but don't emasculate me. Don't make me rather be with a stripper who lying than hear your truth. The enemy will try to mess up your marriage by making you speak low to someone or telling them what they shouldn't be or what they are. No, I want you to walk in here every weekend and feel built up when you leave. Built up through the word of God. Built up. Those of you that have children that get on your last nerve, that need 3 whoopings a week. If you got to whoop them 3 times a week, give them 13 compliments. Sometimes some of you precious mothers who have children and no man in the house walk up to me, Pastor, I can't stand him. He's standing right there. I can't stand him. He's getting all F's. He don't do what I say. He don't clean up nothing. Help him. I'd be thinking, I need to help you. I know he got some issues, but don't tear the brother down. Maybe he's mad because the man you slept with not raising him. You got to take some responsibility and say, let me speak life over my child. I got to whoop him. I got to discipline him. But building yourself up, building one another up. And then watch what Jude says. Let's walk through this. You're going to love it. Look at the next verse, because it's so powerful. Because the Bible says, go easy on those who hesitate in the faith. Go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners. God hates sin. It stinks, but God loves a sinner. Go easy on those who hesitate. I don't know why. I'm just praying this morning. Next thing I know, I'm texting a couple bros in our church that wrecked themselves, you know, bust some moves that embarrassed them, embarrassed their family, I guess touched their character some. Just not the best stuff to be doing, and haven't been here since they fell. I've seen this happen 10, 12 times, and I text them and say, what's up, man? Be at the last service and kiss me on my head. Let me kiss you on your head before church is over. You can be a Christian chump and run, or run up in here and tell people how to get up. That even though life may have hit me with a blow, you invite it back. This is not the place to tell people they can't get up. I found myself texting people that I haven't seen because maybe they went the wrong way, whatever else church is for. This is why one should be a part of a ministry, so that somebody can miss you when you fall. I'm not just coming to sit on the chair because life gonna happen. I tell you, every year, every member here should do what I call a 90-day checkup. Don't let 90 days go by without hugging me or Lady Vernon. Just get in line and say, hey, Krisha, no tea? Me? I'm dead serious. Why? Because the idea is, if I fall, I want somebody to come get me. Building each other up. And then the text says, be tender with sinners. Oh man, all of us have been tripping and impacted by the young player Nipsey Hussle. And if you're my age, you called him Nipsey Russell at least 4 times already. from the 70s. You done made the brother Nipsey Russell. And I know there's some real saved, sanctified Kentucky Fried people here saying, why would he mention that rapper who makes all these misogynist comments and cusses and degrades women? See, that's one part of him. And I know that's the only part some Christian saved people gonna talk about. But don't sleep on the fact that the brother also is loved in L.A. The brother bought a whole shopping mart because some preachers preaching, but they ain't helping. He helping, but not preaching. Y'all missed that. The brother said, I want to help somebody. At the same time, I'm trying to find something to say off his record. I go to Victory Lap, his hit smash. I want to quote him, but every other word is a cuss word, so I can't do it on Sunday. So you want me to talk about the brother, but I admire the brother. I wish I could have met the brother. Why? Because like me, he was two people. He has some good and some bad. Okay, y'all kill me. No. See, there's no perfect people in the world. I know you've been saying for years, Pastor, my grandmother is a saint. Baby, your grandmother was a stripper in 1936. God saved her in 81. They ain't even have poles. She just slid down trees, just breaking up her thigh, just bleeding. No poles back then, just sliding down trees trying to get some milk and butter. Grandma was a stripper. She just got saved in 82. Baby, don't you look at me like that. Old people kill me. I don't mess with all them drugs. Tell somebody you was too drunk to find a needle. Go ahead. Don't you look at me like that. Everybody in here is an ex-something, but God gave you another chance. Is there anybody in the overflow downtown that would thank God that God has sustained you and brought you back? Nipsey was two people, was two people. He's talking about, this is my declaration, the remedy separation. I'm the Tupac of my generation. Man, can a brother get some reparation? When does preparation meet? It just had me tripping as I'm reading. Why would you read that? Because I'm a relevant pastor. I got millennials and YF and teenagers and people my age. You ain't got to worry. We come in the church. We caught enough hell. Who you got to catch is those persons under 30 and 35 who need to know church not boring, and the preacher got something to say to you too. And can I say to all of you, I'm reading the lyrics off Victory Lap, and I'm going through each song and declaration, the remedy, separation. I'm the Tupac of my generation. Then I thought to myself, why did he drop Tupac? Then I go back to 50 with the song that put him on in the club, and 50 said, I want them to love me like they love Pac. I'm saying, wait a minute, what is it about Pac that both the secular and the sacred embrace him? And then it dawned on me, why do people love Pac? Because like most of us, he was wrong, but he was real. I'm gonna try one more time. He was wrong, but he was real. The reason why people can identify with Tupac is because he was wrong, but real. Had a big heart and yet did some bad stuff. Those of you that remember from the 80s and from the 90s, I'm from the 80s. Y'all pray for me. I'm Eric B. and Rock Kemp. I'm Flavor Them. Don't even look at me. I go way back to EPMD. But those of you in the 90s and the 2000s, pray for me. I got a letter from the government. 35 and over. See. Just Google that. That's just Chuck D. That's the real rappers. They all, they old like me now. But can I suggest to you, but even when Pac comes along, look at how there's a duality of personality. On the one hand, he's saying stuff like Brenda got a baby, which is a social political pushback on the marginalization of black young girls and how they have babies because no one's watching over them. Brenda's got a baby. Brenda's barely got a brain. It's a darn shame. She barely knows her name. Then he comes with Dear Mama and says, I know you was a crack fiend, Mama, but you always was my black queen, Mama. Now he's talking about black women that even when we catch in hell, we still raise our babies. Can I get a witness here? Is there any sister here that did everything wrong, but you never left your child? When you were stripping, they were sitting in the back waiting on you. When you was drunk, you took them over mama's house. When you made mistakes, you went and picked them up when you got through. You still raised your child. So how do you go from Brenda had a baby to Dear Mama to I get around? How you gonna go from Brenda had a baby to Dear Mama to I get around, which suggests I'm with a different chick every night? Why? Because like me, he was two people. I feel like having church. Like me, the other young brother was two people. What do you mean? I said at MegaFest in front of thousands of men and millions across the world, there is a public me, and then there is a private me. There is a public me, but then there is a private me. The public me has an earned doctorate degree. The public me comes on national TV. The public me is happily married. The public me is known for uninterrupted integrity. The problem is not with the public me. The problem is with the private me. If I can just get the private me to match up with the public me, but there seems to be a dichotomy, y'all not having church with me. Lean on somebody and say, I wish people knew who I really was. They'd pray for me more. Go ahead. If people knew what I was struggling with, they wouldn't lift me up so high. I wish I was what people thought I was. Can I suggest to you, Pastor, you didn't waste 5 minutes of your sermon on two dead brothers who meant nothing to the world. You got to be out your mind. They were two beautiful brothers who made a mistake. The only difference between me and them is that I'm with him. I wished I had 10 people up in here that knows you know better than nobody. The only thing that makes you stand apart is the Christ in you. Therefore, you should love and embrace everyone. Everybody here today with liquor or weed on their breath, you are a special guest, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, somebody give God praise for him. Look at me downtown, somebody watching across the world. Okay, here's what I came for. Let's just tear the church up. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I want to say that again. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Y'all missed it. Let me try it again. Now to him. Everybody in here with just a myopic amount of intelligence knows that God can pick you up if you fall. But that's not what Jude said. Jude said, I need somebody in my life that can keep me from falling. I'm sorry. Lean on your neighbor and say, I'm tired of saying I'm sorry. Go ahead. Y'all just missed what I said. If you knew what I said, you just run around the church. God is so awesome. Jesus means so much to me. Not only can he pick me up when I fall, but if I hold on to God's unchanging hand, he can keep me from falling. Now, y'all still missed it. I'm going to try it again. I'm tired of saying oops. I'm tired of apologizing. I'm tired of coming back from crack. I'm tired of going over his house feeling good because he's good in the bed, but messing with my head. Got to go back and repent every Sunday. I'm tired of fighting with my wife about stuff I should be delivered from. I don't just want a God that can pick me up. But at this point in my Christianity, I'm tired of falling because it's too hard to get up. Now I want a God that can sustain me from falling. Now y'all missed it. Somebody here ought to give God praise that not only can he pick you up, but the old folks said he can keep you if you want to be kept. Can I get 100 people to praise God that he kept? I got to preach short. We got guests. I want them to come back. Don't preach long on Resurrection Sunday, pastors. I got guests. They glad. They enjoying themselves. Don't mess it up talking too long. Got to stop. Wait a minute. Can keep you from falling. I'm at a place in my life, brothers. I don't want to say I'm sorry to my kids for messing up on their mama. Yeah, I'm tired of apologizing to everybody around me because I went from 0 to 100. I'm tired of going over there and he do what he do to me and we both feel all right for a minute, then I got to feel like a bunch of mess for 2 days after that. Lord, I'm past that. Keep me. I'm tired of Googling stuff like I'm 12 and I'm 42. Looking at women that's not even in my life and not even as good as my wife. I'm sick of that. I need somebody in my life. I'm tired of coming back from crack. I'm tired of rejoining. I'm tired of getting back in fellowship. I'm tired of finding my way again. No, God, at this point in my life, I want the Holy Spirit to fill me up. I want the Word of God to change me from the inside out so that when I'm tempted to do something, he don't even let me fall. Now, you don't know what I'm saying. This is the best part of my sermon. Don't just praise God for helping you get up. Go on and praise God that you don't fall as much. Go on and praise God that when you're tempted, something's keeping you and sustaining you. Praise God for spiritual balance. Praise God for I speak over your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. The Bible does not say all still sin. I know I bust some moves in the past. Watch this. Get mad, devil. Some stuff I'm not doing no more. Some places I'm not going no more. I'm at a new level, so you're going to have to send some new devils. I'm done with that. I'm not falling for that no more. I'm too grown for that. I heard too many sermons for that. I paid too many tithes for that. I cussed out people I didn't want to. I'm through with that. Can I speak over your life that whatever it is you've been struggling with, you're not going to fall for that no more. That by the power of the Holy Spirit and having a little talk with Jesus, he's going to sustain you in your strongest area of struggle. Oh my goodness. Let me let y'all go. And present you faultless. Wait a minute. Before the presence of, and to present you faultless. What did you just say, Jude? Jesus will present you faultless. I'm sorry, Jude, you must don't know about me. I got too many faults. There's no best Christian in here got a couple faults. I don't want to hear that. Present you faultless. Maybe the Bible should say, just, you know, cut out some of your faults, but present you faultless. How in the world can you present someone faultless, which is with as much idiosyncratic issues that I have? How you going to present me faultless with all the stuff I struggle with? The Bible says he'll present me faultless. Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, downtown. I'm going to kiss you in the face. I'll be there. I'm coming. Don't worry about that. I'm coming. God said the same. I'll be there in a few minutes. But look at me. Somebody sitting way in Kansas, California. Those watching me in Detroit, North Carolina, Charlotte, wherever you're watching me, all across the world. Did I tell y'all I went to Africa, I went to Ghana, and a life-changing experience, prayer, Holy Spirit, just a refilling. All of us have the Spirit. The Bible says, Romans 8:9, if you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of his. So I didn't go there to get the Holy Spirit. I went there to let the Holy Spirit have me. So I'm praying, and the Lord changes my life, and I'm getting ready to go after a week. And I said, Archbishop, it's been a blessing. I'm going to head on to the airport. Got this red eye, leaving about 11. And so I'm going to head on out. It's about 9, couple hours, international flight. He said, no, Dr. Vernon. You know, you don't have to go this early. I don't go through the regular airport. I have special access, and my adjutants take my bag, and they don't call me till the plane is loading. We're 5 minutes from the airport, and so once the plane is loading, I drive to the side door of the plane and walk right up. I got feminine for the second time in my life. I said, okay, just. And so sure enough, they get me there just in time. I walk right up because Archbishop had took care of it. I said, just as soon as I get back to Cleveland, I'm calling Hopkins and say, this is Archbishop, the most reverend, Pope Dr. R.A. Vernon. This is the Pope of the most righteous, holy beloved of the Church of God in Christ, Baptist, Pentecostal, Apostolic, Word of Faith, International, Non-Denominational Ministries. And so Nico called, my assistant Nico, she called and said, Dr. Vernon, they said, we don't know why he hasn't been called. He could have been doing this for 20 years. Y'all just missed your second shout. You don't know what you missed because you didn't have knowledge. Sit down. That's free. You don't know what doors you could have went through had you had knowledge ahead of time. You lost time on stuff because you didn't have the knowledge of what you could have or who you could be with. You wasted time that you can't. That's free. Sit down. That's a parenthetical. Sit down. And so sure enough, they said, just pull up and let us know what time you'll be there. And so my adjutant called and said, we're arriving there, blah, 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 blah. And we pull up, and they're right there. Thank you, Dr. Vernon. I watch you every morning on TV. She said, please come this way. And I'm walking. I said, ooh, praise God. But I discovered one thing. I wasn't by myself. I had my adjutant with me and my musician. I was headed to another city to preach, and I loved them too much to leave them. But the problem is they didn't have what I had. They didn't have my name. They didn't have my status. They didn't have my clearance. They didn't have what I had, so I had a choice. Either go with them because of what they don't have or bring them with me. But now how do I bring them with me when they don't have what I have? They don't have the pass that I have. They don't have the clearance that I have. They don't have the ticket that I had. I said, here's what I want you to do. When y'all walk, just stay behind me and don't talk to nobody. If anybody say anything to you, just look at them and say, I'm with him. Happy Easter. You're not sitting here today because you all of that. You're not sitting here today because you haven't made no mistakes. You're not going to heaven because you're perfect. You're only going to heaven for one reason. Put seven people and tell them, I'm with him, I'm with him. I wish I had three people in this church that would praise God, that if God hadn't given you another chance, you would have lost your life, but the Lord stood you up, rearranged you, and now you're going to heaven, not based on you, but based on him. Goodbye, y'all. Let me give you three benefits that come from being with him, and I got to go. Number one, when you get him, you get fortitude. Now, y'all didn't shout, because fortitude is perseverance. Fortitude, okay, do yourself a favor, read all the Now to Hymns in the Bible when you get home. You'll find a cold-blooded one in Romans 16, Now to Him who is able to establish you. Now, y'all missed that. Some of you catching hell right now. You're going through the worst storm of your life, and people around you think you're in denial because he's keeping you. People think you're denying that you're in some sort of emotional oblivion because you're not getting high and getting drunk and acting crazy. They don't know when you're with him. Your husband can break your heart. Your wife can walk out on you. Your children can act a fool, and God will give you a fortitude when you know him. Did I tell y'all, shameless plug, my new series start next week, The Art of War. One of my sermons will be called Weed or Warfare. Smoking weed or spiritual warfare? Because when I get high, I gotta come back down. But if God helps me get past what I'm getting high for, I don't need something else. We'll be talking about marijuana and what does that mean for real biblically to those of you that's high now. Y'all didn't know we got a high section is way over there. Don't y'all see them wave at me? Y'all praise God. They are high. That's why we say that we let them sit up high. I'm just playing. Stop laughing. But not only will he give you fortitude, but secondly, let's just tear the church up. When you get him, you get favor. Now, you don't know what favor is. Favor is when doors open for you that you don't qualify to walk through. Favor is when you get a job you ain't even got no degree for. Favor is when you get stuff you don't deserve, and sometimes you do get stuff that you don't, and do get stuff that you don't, and don't that you do. Why? Because favor's over you. Favor is when you walk in a place and don't know how you made it here. Favor is how you still alive when everybody else got shot in the club. Favor is how your baby got 10 fingers and 10 toes when you wasn't even married yet. Favor is how you standing here right now. Do me a favor, slap 5 people, say favor, favor, favor. Oh, it's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here. And then last but not least, not only do you get fortitude and not only do you get favor, but thirdly and lastly, goodbye, you get forgiveness. When you get him, you get, I'm sorry, Mr. Mueller, Department of Justice, I'm so tired of hearing this one statement, either by tweet or by news, and that is, there was no collusion. There was no collusion. I need to admit, someone in leadership needs to be honest about their collusion. So, since it's not happening from 1600 Pennsylvania, I thought it would happen from Cleveland, Ohio. I want to admit my collusion, because I live in one kingdom, and there have been times when I colluded with the devil from another kingdom in secret because I didn't want anybody to know that I was making deals with the enemy when I should have been trusting in God. So I need to admit my collusion. I am guilty. I'm admitting my collusion. Matter of fact, let the court case start right now. No problem. Please raise your hand. You promise to tell the whole truth, number truth, so help you God. Yes, I do. Please take your seat. What is your name? My name is R.A. Vernon. When were you born, R.A.? Do you mean the first time I was born or the second time I was born? The first time I was born was 1971 at Mount Sinai Hospital, but the second time I was born again in 1986 at First Community Baptist Church. Can I get a witness here? Well, do you promise to tell the whole truth? Are you guilty of collusion? Yes, I am. Did you collude with someone from another nation? Yes, the nation of darkness. His name was Satan. I'm from another kingdom, but I've made some mistakes since I've been saved. Not before I got saved. My members don't know all my dirt. My members don't know everything I thought, did, and been. They don't know everything about me. I am guilty of collusion since I've been saved. I don't want to fight the case. I am guilty. I am guilty. Can you give me my sentence right now? Yes, sir. According to your Bible, you